Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Bradfo Show. That's my open? That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
Bradfo Show.
Bradfo Show.
Coming up, coming your way. I've been thinking long and hard about who is going to be the next Bradfo Show for this week, because I'm populating a lot of them. And I was also thinking, like, who can help me introduce? And I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw the camera guys, and Glenn Gleason, and Bill Messina, and one of those two, the one not named Glenn Gleason, Bill Messina's here. Moose, what's going on?
Well, I feel lonely without Glenn, but I'm still here.
Okay. Well, he will be introducing the next podcast, but I know that you're a huge, huge fan of this podcast, yes. As I am of your...
I just like to say Bradfo Show.
Bradfo, okay, give me a good one.
Bradfo Show.
I feel like there is a panache that anybody, young and old, can bring to introducing the Bradfo Show, and you always bring a little something extra.
You know, I had a little bit of a craving, I don't know what you want to call it. I feel like you need your next one to be somebody with a beard, a good beard, thick.
Good beard.
You know what I mean? I appreciate a good beard. And let's go outside the box. Let's go like somebody that's a redhead on the team.
Okay. I haven't had a lot of redheads on this podcast.
Oh, see, this is going to be a spicy,
this might actually have been the first one. Yeah. So with all those factors, who would be the one that you would want?
I like guys that can throw hard.
Yeah.
So I'm narrowing it down here.
Okay.
And I like guys that can finish things, finish it off.
Okay.
So I got to go with the closer, Craig Kimbrel.
Well, today's your lucky day, Bruce.
What? Wait, what?
Today is your lucky day.
Don't fool with me, Rob.
I'm not. I sat down with Craig Kimbrel, closer of the Boston Red Sox, the elusive Craig Kimbrel.
Cut it out.
You can agree with that.
Can you hear this?
He is. You can not hear. You're introducing it right now.
He is elusive.
The elusive Craig Kimbrel doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah.
But he sat down with me in the dugout.
Come on.
And what we talked about something you love, the pitching, the science of pitching.
Yes.
He's one of the
more fascinating guys to me. Of course, we got into where is he going to pitch? The seventh inning? The eighth inning? The ninth inning?
Big question of the year.
Does he want to pitch anywhere but the ninth inning? Talked a lot about it, Moose.
I want to hear it.
Okay.
Can I hear it right now?
Hear it. One, two, three. Here you go.
Perfect.
All right, Craig, thanks for taking a few minutes here and the dugout of Fenway Park. And so I've always been fascinated sort of how you pitch. And we talk about velocity and everything else. But when you pitch, when you come up and you're pitching, do you look at hitters' reactions first and foremost beyond anything else?
I mean, first off, here at the big league level, the scouting reports we get and everything's so broken down, we kind of have a pretty good idea, game plan, try to attack guys, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. But you can never get away from your strengths and weaknesses, no matter, you know, who's in the box. So, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, scouting reports are great, but at the end of the day, you know, you have it. But when you get out there on the mound, you just compete. You're going out there giving the guy everything you got. The last thing you need to do is, you know, try to hit a corner, try to throw the nastiest pitch you've ever thrown. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's one-on-one, and you just give the guy the best you got that day.
Well, to me, you raise a good point, because to me, it's like you would be the anti-scouting report guy, because you have the two dominant pitches, and to me, it would be like, here, you hit my stuff. I'm not going to play so much to what you can or can't.
Yeah, I mean, that comes into play. But you also have to be aware of guys who, I mean, with velocity nowadays, there's not too many pitches guys can't catch up to down in the zone.
Has that changed?
I think it's flip-flopped.
Yeah.
I felt like when I first came up, you know, obviously, you know, guys were better middle in, kind of up in the zone. You know, coming up as a Brave, it was down and away. If you're not a down and away pitch, it's, you know, most of the time it's gonna be a good result. But from what I've seen over the last 2 years, you know, guys' swings are really set up with a lot of power down the zone.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how hard you hit, if guys time it up, it's gonna go a long ways down there. So it's definitely paying attention to that. But working up the zone, you just gotta work just right above the strike zone.
What was the most eye-opening? You talk about coming over here, you have a National League guy coming over here in not only the American League, but the American League East. What was sort of the most eye-opening thing in terms of approach? Like, oh man, I could do that there, and I can't really do that here.
I just think the power in the lineups is quite a bit more in the American League East, and these lineups are so deep. There's not really a lot of guys in the lineups where you'd be like, okay, I don't have to worry about this guy hitting out of the park. I can go at him. If he gets me, it's going to be a double or, you know, a single. But it seems like everyone in the American League lineups are, you know, have a chance to hit the ball over the fence on you, and are trying to. It's, you know, it's a big bat league and a big bat division, so I think that's really been the biggest difference I've noticed.
What pitch for you, or what do you do better now than you did when you first became a Red Sox, you think? I mean, I know you're relatively the same pitcher. You've had a lot of success. That's why you're here. That's why you get traded for.
I think the biggest difference, like, as pitching wise, I wouldn't say like stuff wise, and my how I attack guys has changed really any. I think it's just understanding which guys can hit certain pitches.
Really?
Like I said earlier,
because you hadn't faced this league, right?
Pitching down in the zone, you know. You can't always just get a strike down there because, you know, it's a potential home run pitch.
Do you remember an at bat where you're like, okay, I'm going to type this fastball, it's 97, 98, it's rising fastball, I can get by with this, and like, holy crap, you know, I wasn't able to get by with it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're throwing out some fastballs in there, eventually you're going to hit it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's getting that breaking ball over and showing the guys you can get it in. And therefore, strike really expands everything. And that's not just for me. That's for every pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if a guy has a good fastball, it's only going to play as good as his secondary pitch is.
And so you go last year. I know the first year here you were sort of battling some injuries and things like that, but was it as simple for you last year, besides the health stuff of this control, like you have the pitches, but you can put it where you wanted to put it? I mean,
last year I went back to just being aggressive.
Really?
And going right at guys, and you know, in doing that, you get away with some pitches sometimes, and you can see the reactions of hitters when they foul a ball straight back, thinking they should have hit it out, and they probably should have, but that opens up the rest of the bat, maybe the next time you face them. And I realized that. I realized just going right at guys, not walking guys, not trying to be crafty. If the guy hits a solo home run off of me in a 3-run ball game or a 2-run ball game, we still got the lead. And I think just having that mentality and getting back to that mentality really helped me out last year.
I mean, so that first year was like sort of worrying about I have to know this hitter, I have to know that hitter, I have to finesse it a little bit more, and then you just come out and say, hey, all right, you know what? Here's my stuff. I'm going to go at you, and there you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really? Well, it worked. It worked. So, you know, I talked to, you know, last year, you know, I know a lot has been talking about the ninth inning, eighth inning, and everything else, but one of the things that interests me is that I talked to Billy. You know Billy Wagner at all?
Oh, yeah. I know Billy really
well. Yeah, so Billy was here. He was awesome. I really enjoyed, like, him talking. He came as an eighth inning guy, and he was really honest about, like, this is how they approach, hitters approach you in the ninth inning, this is how they approach the eighth inning. Like, you pitched in the eighth inning last year five times or something. I don't know if that's enough of to tell or if you've talked to guys, but it's not, to me, it's not just you're pitching a different inning. Like, talking to Billy is sort of like, the hitters act differently. Do you buy into that at all?
I mean, I think definitely at different times of the game, different score of the game, obviously knowing you have more outs, you know, I understand why, but I haven't really had that much experience.
Because when you came in...
When I come in the eighth inning, I'm treating it just like the ninth. I still feel like guys are trying to, you know, put the ball in play early, trying not to get deep in counts. I really haven't noticed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad example because obviously when you were brought in, it was an important time. You know, it wasn't just a random time. So it's, I don't know. I don't know if you've talked to other guys about that or not. Like the difference in the ninth inning, like what the ninth inning is all about. Talked to Tony La Russa about it. I mean, he was the guy who invented, you know, and saying the ninth inning is just different. Like, have you talked to guys about that at all? Or?
Well, I mean, it's been a saying ever since, you know, I've known the game of baseball is the last three outs and toughest outs of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, I can look at our lineup and I can see our ninth innings and how we approach closers and the aggressiveness our guys have. It just seems different sometimes. It seems like maybe have a little bit more of an edge or maybe a little bit more of an approach based off of how their bats are going throughout the game or what situation the game is. All those factors come into play.
You know, Alex has talked about talking to you about using you differently, whatever. First of all, how was that conversation? And also, like, how do you view the way the bullpens are going now?
Well, first of all, our conversation was pretty basic and straightforward. Yeah. Talked about situation and nothing that I've never, you know, been accustomed to coming in and getting out of a situation or, you know, trying to say we got a game close and it's a big game. And get some guys out of situations in the eighth inning. From the conversations we have, it hasn't been, you know, too different than what I've always known.
It hasn't been like, oh, we're gonna flip flop the world of relief pitching. And
no, not at all.
No, no. So was that nice to talk to him, like into that way?
Well, absolutely. You want to be on the same page as the guy making the decisions about how the game's gonna roll. And I think as long as the whole team is on the same page, you know, in any kind of work field, everything works better and flows better.
So what do you think about the way the bullpens are going? You're obviously a student of the game, you know. So when you look at the way that, you know, things are going in baseball and the way the bullpens are used, Addison Reed, a guy who was a closer, if you told me he was going to become, you know, say, oh, it's okay, I'll be a setup guy. What's your take on the way things are going?
in the sense of...
No, just like that things are being valued a lot. Like, when you became a closer, it was completely different. Now, that was a few years ago. But the fact that Alex is having this conversation with you, the fact that Addison Reed is there, you know, setting guys up, you know, the fact that we have other examples, it is just the bullpen is viewed in a different light.
Well, I think a lot of it comes out of analytics and looking at where the lineups swing around and who's coming up in the eighth, and if it's more important to get through that eighth inning to get to the ninth inning, and things like that. I think analytics are great, but you still can't measure what it takes.
But that's what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the difference. I mean, to me, that's the biggest difference.
I mean, my view of it is, yeah, it's very, very important in the eighth inning if the middle lineup's coming up. But if the bottom lineup's coming up in the ninth inning and those guys get on, well, before you know it, the middle lineup's back up with runners on and a lot tighter ball game than maybe it was in the eighth inning.
Right. And so when you have, like, when you talk to people about that, it's like, obviously, you know the value of those last three outs, no matter what. Do you want to articulate that and say, hey, you know what, I'll do whatever. I'll come in whenever. But I also want to, my feeling is I know what it's like to get those last three outs. I don't know if it's a back and forth conversation or it's just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing behind it is, you know, if I'm coming in the game, I'm coming in and trying to finish the game. So if I do come in the eighth inning, you know, I have full expectations to go back out there for the ninth and close it out.
Which is why it happened for the most part, unless the game got out of hand last year.
Yeah, unless we scored 10 runs.
Well, that happened a couple times, right?
Yeah, it did.
I can appreciate that. I mean, I can appreciate the fact that the last three outs, like I said, LaRussa said this. It's an interesting conversation, I think it is, because I think when people say the seventh inning, or...
I mean, all three innings are important. You know, I'm not going to have a chance to get the last three outs in the game unless we take care of what happens in the seventh and in the eighth inning. I mean, I'm not going to get a chance to pitch in the ninth inning if we don't take care of what happens in the first inning.
Right.
So it's really based off the team effort just to get to that point.
Right, but what if you are the guy, like, in the seventh inning? Could you understand that?
The guy's pitching in the seventh inning?
Yeah, if okay, here comes Judge Sanchez and Stanton in the seventh inning.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be pitching in the seventh inning.
No, okay. All right, that's true. I don't think you would. But there's guys, I go back to when they started the whole, Joe Maddon started. It's just different. It's a bigger conversation. And I just find it interesting because, you know, this is the way it's going. What do you, as we sit here right now, do you have any idea of how long you want to pitch or play? You're a young man, so maybe that's...
There's a lot of factors that come into that. The number one thing is health. You know, obviously, as long as I can stay healthy, I feel like I'm still on a good team that has a chance to win. I think I'm gonna play as long as my body allows me to. But there's a lot of other factors that come into that.
You take. You're a workout. You like working out.
Yeah, it's fun.
When did that click in for you?
I've always liked to work out, but I think over the years, just trying to modify it and realize what's good and what's bad for me and really what to focus on. And that's why I always try to do my workouts after the game.
Do most guys do that like you do? We walk by you in Tampa, and I know you do this all the time, but we don't. Like, we walk by you, and you're using a medicine ball like after you had pitched. And do most guys do what you do?
I think a lot of late-inning guys do.
Do they?
I'm preparing for the situation towards the end of the game late at night. So I kind of want to train my body to be ready later on in the day.
Because some guys lift before, right?
Yeah.
That's always bizarre to me.
There was a point where I used to lift before the game too, but it got to a point where I felt like I was fatiguing myself before I got out there and actually did my job. So kind of modified it to working out afterwards, and it kind of pushes me too. If I go out there and you know, throw 15, 20 pitches, you know, I'm pushing myself after the game. So the next time I go out there, 35 pitches, I'm not as gassed.
Right.
I'm just kind of trying to train my body to overexert myself so when those times come, I'm not struggling.
You have to be disciplined, man, to work out after a long day of work.
I'm used to it now. I actually enjoy it.
You like it?
Yeah,
I can tell that.
Helps me go to sleep, too.
Does it really?
Yeah, when you're pitching at 10 o'clock, you know, probably 11 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
always going. So sometimes, you know, getting there and getting a workout, you know, kind of helps me calm down and so I can rest at night.
That's good. Well, last question. How are you doing? How you feel good? Like, obviously, it was sort of a weird ramp up to this year. When you hit Tampa, did it seem, like, physically, did it seem like, okay, got a couple in, I feel okay? You know, you were throwing all right. But are you starting to feel as it's gone on?
Yeah, I'm definitely starting to get to that point. To say I'm 100% ready to go, I'd be lying. I'm good enough to go out there and get out and still try to work on and find the rest of what I got. So very close to that. Hopefully we'll see that tonight.
What was the thing that was just that didn't feel quite right?
It's just timing. I think getting comfortable on the mound, getting used to the ball coming out of my hand and things like that. You know, not yanking the ball and trusting it and things like that.
Yeah.
That it just takes time throwing and long tossing and working on things like that. And you can't simulate, you know, going out there and getting the soreness that you get in a regular season game. It's just trying to getting all that taken care of and under control.
All right, well, I'm glad everything's going well with your family. I'm glad everything's going well here. And I really appreciate you taking some time.
Okay, thank you.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.